When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The other rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door,
this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And y'all, we're going to be continuing with Sam Little today. I'm going to tell you everything that he confessed to, all the crimes, and even though, like I told you before, they weren't able to go back and verify every one of them, Sam Little, after he'd been convicted of those murders, and the FBI task force is in on him, he had diarrhea of the mouth. And he confessed to murders from coast to coast. And I actually got a call this week from an investigator up in North Louisiana who believes that he also killed an additional two women in right up by the Louisiana-Arkansas border back in 1982. And they even had people who saw Sam Little and his cohort by this low budget motel, you know, where a lot of the high-risk victims lived. But according to the FBI, Little confessed to the murders of the following individuals. Now, he provided sketches, y'all, for 26 of them, but not all of these individuals have been confirmed to be linked to specific known murders, okay? But that meant it didn't happen. I mean, he's telling all these things that he did over a period of 30, 40 years. And it's hard for him, right? But they were able to verify a lot of them, and we'll get into it. All right, let's start with Miss Mary Jo Brosley, who was murdered on New Year's Eve, 1970, in Home Hempstead, Florida. She was a white female and approximately 33 years old, all right? Now, Sam Little, yeah, he's not just coming up with names on some of full names, but he's able to provide a sketch of this victim, okay? So, you know, then they're going to go to Homestead, Florida, as they would on each of these locations, and try to verify the information that he gave. I'm telling you that, why would you give this much information on this many people, and unless you knew you weren't going to get the death penalty? And he's braggadocious. He wants to be known as the most prolific serial killer ever. And I think he did that. So the next lady we're going to tell you about, Sam Little, only knew her as Linda. Okay. And in 1971, he murdered her in Miami, Florida. He said she was a black female who was approximately 22 years old. And once again, he provided a sketch of this victim. Now, y'all, when I say he provided a sketch, doesn't mean he's an artist. It means they brought in a sketch artist who, if you've ever seen that process, it's pretty amazing. They can take a blank sheet of paper and listen to what you tell them about the features of a person, and they make it just scary, scary good, if you will. It's amazing the work that they do, okay, like you see in the movies. The next lady was Miss Marianne, and she was murdered. Sam said he killed her sometime between 1971 and 1972. And this was also in Miami, Florida. Now, Marianne could possibly be a Mariani. Sam Little said that this person was black, transgender teenager who was approximately 18 years old. And again, they brought in the sketch artist and he drew a sketch of the victim. Continuing on, 1971 to 72 again in Miami, Florida, he killed an unnamed black female. Now, like I said, if you pick up prostitutes, a lot of time you may not get their names, or it's just a victim that you come across. I mean, you may not know him, right? Well, but he did say that he thinks that this person, this unnamed black female, was in the Air Force. I don't know if she had, she had a uniform on or what the deal was, but he killed her too. Then we go to the year of 1972. Another unnamed white female was murdered in Prince George's County, Maryland. So he's moving up the coast, right? I don't know how this dude got around so much, but he did it. And he said that this unnamed white female was approximately 20 to 25 years old. And he confessed, and this confession actually was matched to a known Jane Doe case. So this was an unsolved case they had out of Prince George County. He said that he believed she was possibly from Massachusetts. And again, once again, the sketch artist worked with Sam Little and they came up with evidently enough of a likeness that the cops can match it to a Jane Doe. I still don't know what her name is, but they matched it to a case, open case that they had. And then in 1973, another unnamed white female, he murdered her in Kendall, Florida. He said she was approximately 45 years old, probably from Massachusetts. And just like this next victim, I'm going to tell you, he said both of the 1973 victims are described to possibly have the first name Sarah. I don't know about that. I mean, you're talking about, 30-something years later. Who knows if he got that right. But the next lady is, they were able to prove this case. Miss Sarah Brown. And This was also in 1973. And he killed her in New Orleans, Louisiana. And he didn't know how old she was, but he said that he picked her up at a local restaurant she worked at on Canal Street. Now, if y'all know anything about New Orleans, Canal Street is the I would say the Western Street, which borders the French Quarter, all right? Full of restaurants and bars, as everybody knows. But in 1974, he travels to Savannah, Georgia, and he murders another unnamed black female. And again, y'all, a lot of these victims are going to be, you know, just somebody he picked up, and he may have killed him before he got to know him. I don't know. But he said that she was between 22 or 23 years old. And once again, he provided a sketch of this female. So, rolling on. Again, in 1974, in Cincinnati, Ohio, y'all. Now, see how this cat gets around? He murders another unnamed black female. He said he didn't really know how old she was, but he murdered her, and he dumped her body in Columbus, Ohio, right? Once again, like I told you in the last episode, he figured the moving these bodies around would help him get away with it. He also provided a sketch of the victim, and at the time that they wrote all this, they were still working on the case, the cops were. So let's go to a lady that he only knew by the name of Emily. And he couldn't even, and remember y'all how many years this has been. He just said he killed her in the mid-1970s in Miami, Florida. So she was a black female, approximately 23 or 24 years old. And he thinks that she worked at the University of Miami. It's crazy. I mean, I believe that he's doing the best to recall because he's getting off on it, right? So, go to 1975. Another unnamed black female. He killed her in Knoxville, Tennessee. I just don't know how he got around so much. He said she was approximately 25 years old, and he really couldn't give more details than that. So, go to the years between 1976 and sometime between 1976 and 77, he murdered another unnamed black female in Wichita Falls, Texas. He said he didn't know how old she was, but and he couldn't tell him exactly where he disposed of her body, but he said that he disposed of her somewhere near Wichita Falls, Texas. And again, he provided a sketch of the victim. He must have had a mind like a steel trap, or he went back and reviewed these and got off them in his head over the years. I don't know. But it's crazy. So let's go to sometime between the years of 1976 and 1979. And he murdered another lady named Joe in Granite City, Illinois. Now, look, if you're going to make up murders and shit, why would you come up with a city like Granite City, Illinois? But he said this lady named Jo was a black female, approximately 26 years old, and he picked her up, or may have picked her up, in St. Louis, Missouri. And once again, he provided a sketch of the victim. Y'all, another thing on these sketches of victims, you would think the guy was full of shit, but these sketch artists know. They can, like, tell if a person's just given a made-up facial features and things like that. And because this happens a lot. And when the sketch artists come in and people are lying about the case, and they'll try to come up with a composite sketch of someone to throw the cops off the tracks, right? But he's given valid sketches that are coming up, and they're going back and they're working these cases. Keep rolling on. Another unnamed black female in between the years of 1976 and 1979. And he murdered her in East St. Louis, Illinois. He did not know how old she was, and he stated that he picked her up in St. Louis, Missouri. So I guess it's right across the river, y'all, from each other. Rolling on. Another unnamed black female who he murdered between 1976 and 1979. But then he comes back and he said, maybe I'm getting this one confused with another black female I murdered in 1993. But either way, he was adamant that he killed this lady in Houston, Texas. He said he didn't know how old she was, but guess what? He was very successful in providing another sketch of the victim, okay? Miss Yvonne Pless, P-L-E-S-S, in 1977, he murdered her in Macon, Georgia. He said she was approximately 20 years old, and y'all, this confession was actually matched to an existing Jane Doe case, like I told you earlier. Everything that he said fit, right? So, I don't know. Stay in 1977. Miss Clara Birdlong in Pascagoula, Mississippi. Now, I told y'all about Pascagoula, just the other side of Biloxi, almost to the Alabama line, close to the water. He says she was approximately 35 to 45 years old, and he believed he met her in Gulfport, but she was a native to Pascagoula. Now, Gulfport isn't 10 miles, y'all, probably from Pascagoula, maybe 15. He says she worked at the Ingall Shipyard. Now, his confession matched to another existing Jane Doe case, and Little provided a sketch of the victim, and this victim was known as, turns out she was known as the Jackson County Jane Doe, or Escatawapa Jane Doe. That's the name that the cops used because of where her remains were found. And her remains were identified in 2021 by the way of what we all know and love now, genetic genealogy, which is pretty cool. It's 1977 or 1978, another unnamed black female he killed in Cleveland, Ohio. He said he didn't know how old she was, and the cops are still working on this case, y'all. And on June the 2nd of 2019, she was identified as a black female and petite, somewhere between 20 and 35 years old. And Little dumped her body down a grassy slope near a fence in a wooded area just off of Interstate 271 in Willoughby Hills, Ohio. Now, her body was found in 1983 on March 18th. And according to the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, or NAMIS, and she was believed to be between 17 and 24 years old. Again, y'all, you can't give this much detail. Willoughby Hills, Ohio, whoever the fuck heard of that, all right? Or knows that Interstate 271 runs through there and you know, the grassy slope he dumped from one. How'd they go back? And they were like, holy shit, we found a body here. And working the case. So just all over the country. In 1977 and 1978, he killed another unnamed black female in Plant City, Florida, all right? He didn't know how old she was, but he met her in Clearwater, Florida, and killed her. And he provided, once again, he provided a sketch of the victim. And, y'all, that's a lot of years. All these cases aren't verified. I mean, he confessed to them. That's for real. And he drew 90% of them, the sketches and everything else. But you got to go back all these years, and who knows if the body was ever even found. Or they're going back and digging through case files. And a lot of times the case files get lost, you know. I don't know. The 1977 or 1982, because he's getting his years mixed up. He killed another unnamed black female in Charleston, South Carolina. And he said she was approximately 28 years old. And once again, he provided a sketch, right? And now he's not making these sketches up. All these sketches are different. They said that it would be impossible for a human being to be able to falsify all these different sketches. So let's go to Miss Patricia Parker, who was murdered in between the years of 1980 and 81. I'm getting to y'all. This is Corden Sam Little in Dade County, Georgia. And he said that Patricia Parker was approximately 25 to 30 years old. And again, the cops took this confession and matched it to another Jane Doe case. Okay. And on October the 8th, 2020, the Hamilton County, Tennessee Sheriff's Department positively identified Patricia Parker by a DNA match on a dead body they had, y'all. So thank God they held the evidence and they did the work. And at least, yeah, all these unnamed black females, that's what's so tragic, or unnamed females, that's what's so tragic, because nobody's ever going to know. You know, he knows. But another unnamed black female, he murdered between the years of 1980 and 1984, again in Gulfport, Mississippi. He said she was approximately 22 years old, and that's all the information he could give on her. Again, y'all, a lot of these are centered around military bases. It's crazy.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year though, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried Astapro? It's faster, bro. Oh. Right? Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this. And you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astapro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astapro and go.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
1981, Sam Little murders another unnamed black female who was approximately 35 to 40 years old, and he also provided another sketch of this victim. Bring it back home for me. In 1982, when I was 12 years old, he murdered another unnamed white female in New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, he provided a sketch of this unnamed white female, and guess what? NOPD matched it to the confession to a Jane Doe white female that they had. Jane Doe, everybody knows that means they don't have a name on her. White female who was between 33 and 44 years old, and she was killed in murdered in 1982. So they verified it. Keep it in New Orleans, okay? Another unnamed black female. In the autumn of 1982, he murdered her, and he said she was 30 to 40 years old, was approximately 5'8" to 5'9" tall, and she weighed about 160 pounds. And she had honey-colored brown skin and medium-length straight hair. Now, Sam Little remembers that she was wearing a pretty dress with buttons on the front. And Little said they met in a club where she was attending a birthday party with a group of friends and one of her two sisters. And then once again, Little provides a sketch of this victim. This is unreal. Go to back in the South, back to Pascagoula, Mississippi, in the year of 1982. Now, Pascagoula, y'all, isn't probably an hour and 20 minutes from New Orleans, but her name was Melinda, they called her Mindy LaPree, and she was 22 years old, and she was originally from New Hampshire, and whatever she was doing in Pascagoula, I don't know, but Sam Little murdered her and confessed to it. I don't know. All right, skipping around again, going fast forward, and according to Sam, sometime between 1983 and 1984, he murdered another unnamed white female in Atlanta, Georgia. And he said she was approximately 26 years old, and she may have been from Griffin, Georgia. Now, how the fuck does he know that, right? Unless the victim told him before he pounced on him and killed him. Again, Little provided a sketch of this unnamed white female. Go to 1984, another unnamed female, and he murdered her near Columbus, Ohio. And he said he didn't know how old she was. He said he disposed of her body in northern Kentucky. Well, make it harder on the cops, right? Well, guess what? The cops are still working on the case, and to, you know, hopefully they'll get some closure for somebody. Keep it in 1984. An unnamed black female in Atlanta, Georgia. Little says she was between 23 and 25 years old, probably a college student, and he killed her. And once again, he provides a sketch of her, right? Crazy. And we go to 1988 in Miss Linda Bennett in Owenton, Kentucky. Now, I know this dude's telling the truth, y'all. You can't make up these towns. He said he killed Linda Bennett. He didn't know how old she was, and he picked her up. He thinks he picked her up in Columbus, Ohio. And he provided another sketch, y'all, of the victim. And it was a 25-year-old white female, and he picked her up outside a strip club. And he remembers her as being 5'6" to 5'7" tall, and she weighed between 130 and 170 pounds. Now, Lil said he described her as having short blonde hair and blue eyes with a hippie appearance. And he said that he believes she had a mama in Miami, Florida. Now, in December of 2022, Linda Bennett had been a Jane Doe all these years, but the cops were able to use Sam Little's information and identify her as Linda Bennett, who was 38 years old, y'all. So good police work. And, as bad as this dude was, I'm glad he confessed and was able to give some of these families some closures. All right, let's go to July the 6th. Now, he didn't know if it was 1990 or 1997. There's two of them, y'all. He didn't know it was 1990 or 1997, but he knew it was in West Memphis, Arkansas, which is just across the Mississippi River from the city of Memphis. And the lady's name was Zena Jones Priscilla Baxter Jones. And I guess maybe she had aliases, y'all. And Sam said she was approximately 28 or 29 years old. And he believed he picked her up in Memphis, Tennessee. And Sam confesses that he killed her and then dumped her body in the Mississippi River. And Sam provided a sketch of her once again. And guess what? The confession matched to another Jane Doe case, all right? And the family of Zena Maria Jones recognizes the sketch as her missing relative who was found on the riverbank of the Arkansas River, July 28th. 1990. There was a point of interest. There was a man named Anthony Jones who stated the sketch resembled his mother, who was Priscilla Baxter Jones, who was killed in 1997. So that's why the two names, two more bodies, he confessed to one of them, but it could possibly also be Priscilla Baxter Jones. I don't understand that. Both of them have the same last name. That's kind of freaky. And y'all may have it wrong, obviously, but this was sent to me again by Leah Marie, who is a fire investigator of her own right. Let's go back to 1984, and he murdered another unnamed black female in San Bernardino, California, and he says she was between the ages of 18 and 23. No sketch, no further information provided. And we'll go to 1984 again. And this is cross country, as far away as you can get. He murders another unnamed black female in Fort Myers, Florida. Didn't know how old she was. Just another one he's recalling, right? I lost count of how many this is. Staying in 1984, he murders another unnamed black female, this time in Tampa, Florida. And he didn't know how old she was, but guess what? He was able to provide a sketch of the victim. I'm good. 1984 again. He murders in Savannah, Georgia, a lady named Frances Campbell. And he said she was around 23 years old. And Little is suspected of asking Campbell for a date at a bar near the intersection of Montgomery Street and Victory Drive in 1984. And Campbell's body was discovered in 1985 on top of a pile of debris from the construction of the Interstate 516. Now, Savannah police matched Little's description of Campbell to a missing person case. And a Chatham County, Georgia grand jury indicted Little in December of 2019 for Campbell's murder. Great. Great police work. Glad they indicted him. You're coming back from 2019 to 1984, 94, 2004. It's 34, it's fucking like 40 years. So great police work, and thank God they still had the files, because most departments wouldn't have had them. But we're continuing on. An unnamed black female, 1987, in Los Angeles, California, age unknown. Now, I guess Einstein couldn't have remembered all these bodies, all right? Staying in 1987, staying in Los Angeles, California, he confesses to murdering another unnamed black female, age unknown. Y'all, this is like when they arrested him in Los Angeles twice in the same parking lot, when the one lady he thought he had murdered or whatever. I'm submitting to you that these are prostitutes or people of real high-risk lifestyles, and nobody would have reported missing. Because we're staying in Los Angeles, California, in 1987, a third unnamed black female. But this time, he was able to say that, I mean, not only did he murder her, but she was around 19 years old, y'all. Staying in Los Angeles, California, staying in 1987 again, he murdered a lady that he knew only as Granny. And he said she was a black female who was around 50 years old. Staying in Los Angeles, California again, 1987, he murders another unnamed black female, and he was able to say that she was around 22 to 23 years old. Y'all, this is crazy, right? One more. Los Angeles, California. Again, the year is 1987. Another unnamed black female. And this time, Sam was able to say she was between 26 or 27 years old, and he provided a sketch of this victim. And, y'all, the ones that these aren't verified on, the Jane Doe cases, you remember, you're talking 30 and 40 years all over the country. It could be lost files. It could be bodies were never reported, whatever the situation. So let's come back to Louisiana. And he meets an unnamed black female who he said was around 24 years old in Monroe, Louisiana, far northeast part of Louisiana, okay? Not a lot up there. He murdered her, an unnamed black female who was, according to him, only 24 years old, and he provided a sketch of her. This dude had a rocket up his ass. I mean, he goes from coast to coast on one of these confessions in the same years. In 1988 or 1996, he murdered a unnamed Hispanic female in Phoenix, Arizona. He said she was approximately 40 years old and may have been native to the area. And guess what? He provides another sketch of this victim. Rolling along. Y'all, Miss Yolanda Jones, in 1994, in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, she was 26 years old, and he murdered her, and he confessed to it, and they were able to solve it. So, at least he's talking. Some of these families will get some closure. Let's go to June the 11th. There's one with a specific date. June the 11th of 1991. We're back in Los Angeles, California, and he meets and murders Elise Denise Duvall, a black female who is approximately 40 to 45 years old. Very specific date on that one, y'all. Staying in 1991, he goes to Akron, Ohio, and he murdered Miss Roberta Tanderich. He didn't know how old she was, but you know what? The cops are working on this case, and they ID'd, or they were working on it. They ID'd Roberta Tanderich in October of 2019. So she had been murdered 2001, 11, almost 30 years, y'all, before. I don't know if she got justice on it, but at least they were able to ID her body, I guess, and close that part of it out. Rolling on. Another unnamed black female between the years of 1991 and 1992, back in Los Angeles, California. He murdered her. He said she was approximately 20 to 22 years old and that she may have been visiting Los Angeles from San Francisco. Unreal. Unreal. All right, staying in 1992, staying in Los Angeles, California, he admits to murdering another unnamed black female, but he didn't know how old she was. He could not provide a sketch, which is crazy. Go to 1992 to 1993. He's still in Los Angeles, California, and he meets and murders another unnamed black female. He did not know how old she was, but guess what? He was able to provide a sketch of this victim. Staying in Los Angeles, the years of 1992 to 93, he meets a unnamed Hispanic female who he said she was, he believes she was 24 or 25 years old, and she may have been from Phoenix, and he murdered her. Case unsolved. Or, you know, nobody found, I guess you would say. I believe that he's telling the truth. Go to 1992 to 1993. Another unnamed black female. This time, North Little Rock, Arkansas. I mean, this dude is just wide open, coast to coast. He said this unnamed black female, he did not know how old she was. But she could be 24 years old. She was between 5'5" and 5'7" tall and weighed approximately 200 pounds. And her name was possibly Ruth. Figure it out. That's a hell of a lot of police work to come back fucking 30 years later and try to, I mean, all you could do is try to match any Jane Days you had. And plus, remember, he's dropping them everywhere else. Let's go to Las Vegas, Nevada, 1993. I mean, this dude just, I don't know how he gets around so much, but he meets another unnamed black female. He says she was a dark-skinned woman who was approximately 40 years old, and she was about 5'5" tall and weighed between 110 and 120 pounds. And he believed she had naturally short hair, but wore a long-haired wig. And he remembered the woman pointing out her son, a black male, who was approximately 19 to 23 years old, right? Y'all, so many details. And I'm reading these lists, but think about it. Each one of these people were brutally murdered. His murder of choice, strangulation, and beating to death.
Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much hormone harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/RLRC and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/RLRC.
Los Angeles, California, 1996. Another unnamed black female. And he said she was approximately 23 to 25 years old. And he murdered her brutally. No further information. 1996, Los Angeles, California. He murders T Money. I guess it's a street name, right? Who is a black female. And Sam Little says she was approximately 23 or 24 years old. Stan, 1996, Los Angeles, California. Man, he must have killed more people in Los Angeles than anybody in the history of the world. An unnamed white female who Little said was approximately 23 to 25 years old. And guess what? He was able to provide a sketch of this victim. Brutally murdered. 1996, again, Los Angeles, California. These are all the same year, y'all. He murders another unnamed black female who's approximately 25 years old. Just unreal. 1997, Phoenix, Arizona again. He murders a lady named Ann, who was a white female. He did not know how old she was, but guess what? He knew enough where he could provide another sketch of her, right? So, y'all, Sam Little claimed to have strangled more than 93 people between 1970 and 2005. And though many of his victims' deaths were first ruled as accidental or overdoses, many of little victims' bodies were never found. And it's for the obvious reasons, right? And the confessions he provided, along with a sketch, could not be matched to a known missing person. That mean Dick. This was a lot of time. He may have got the city he dumped the body in wrong or whatever it may be. You know, I don't know. I'll give you an example of a couple of them, okay? And I already talked about this one lady. In Miami, Florida, between the years of 1971 or 72, Little confessed to strangling an 19-year-old black trans woman and leaving her body in the Everglades near Highway 27. And Little, remember her name, is, I told y'all earlier, Marianne or Mariana. And she was between 5'6" and 5'7", weighed around 140 pounds. Again, he sketched this victim. And it goes on and on, y'all. Everyone I told you about up top, you know, like meeting the one lady outside a strip club in Covington, Kentucky. Who the fuck can make that up? And that has short blonde hair, dressed as a hippie. They give more details, y'all, on everyone that I told you about. I'm not going to go over it again. But let me tell you this. He gave such detailed information, like in Los Angeles, California, in 1984, he confessed to strangling a short, thick, black female. After killing her, he had sex with her body on a service road off the I-10 before dragging her halfway up a hill and leaving her there, right? I'm not admitting to having sex with a corpse, but Little had a long-term girlfriend, Aurelia Jean Dorsey, who's now dead, and she supported them both through shoplifting for the years. That was her job. On May the 28th, 1971, Little was arrested in Cleveland with his girlfriend, who at that time was Lucy Madero, and they were charged with the robbery of a gas station. Now, while in jail, Madero confided in her cellmate Dorsey that she would be testifying against Little in the robbery case. And in 1972, when the case went to trial, Madero testified against Little, but his defense team was able to plan for it with the help from information passed on by Dorsey. And Little was eventually found not guilty. And Dorsey and Little were together until she died of natural causes of a brain hemorrhage in Los Angeles in 1988. She was 27 years older than Sam Little. So even after she testifies and he gets found not guilty, they ride and die together. Y'all, ultimately, Sam Little was serving life sentences in the California State Prison in, ironically, Los Angeles County, where he murdered so many people, right? And this piece of shit went to hell on December the 30th of 2020 in the Los Angeles County Area Hospital. They didn't give a cause of death. The Department of Corrections didn't, but they said that he suffered from diabetes, heart problems, and other health conditions. And fuck him. If you've heard of a worse serial killer than Sam Little, I want you to send me the information, all right? And this is a story. It's not my story, but I'm a storyteller. And when I hear something like this, I'm like, the whole world needs to know about this dude. I mean, coast to coast, in the 90-something plus, over 30-something years, murder. And hearts go out to all the victims and the victims' families. Hey, just because you're a prostitute or a drug addict or a homeless person, it doesn't give anyone the right to murder you, right? So anyway, I'm going to conclude this episode, Sam Little. I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Y'all, the O'Hara's Pub on 3rd Street, I will be there. And if you're listening to this on Saturday, I will be there tonight. And y'all come down and see me and have a beer with me. The grand opening was supposed to be last weekend. They got pushed back with the health department or whatever, some inspection or whatever the fuck. And We're going to be down there. We're going to be having a good time. Come and see us. O'Hara's Pub, 1/3 Street. My buddy Brian Ott owns it. And if you've been to a crew bash at the Basin, yeah, I think we did 3 or 4 there. Brian is also the owner of the Basin. So can't wait. Come out and see us. It'll be a great time. Patrons, convicts, Apple subscribers, I hope you enjoyed your latest episode. There's going to be more of it. A lot of big changes coming from Real Life Real Crime, and I will be able to announce them next week as far as what's going on with the Daily Show and all that kind of stuff. But I want you to know that I appreciate each and every one of y'all, and thank you for tuning in and liking and listening and sharing, and bless people. Blessed to have y'all, lifers, best fans in the world. LOPA. Oh, you know what? Go download our free Real Life Real Crime community app. It has everything, everything Real Life Real Crime on steroids. Y'all, if you have cold case information, send it to me. I'm working on something. But you can't just send me a name and a date or whatever. You got to give me as much information as you can. I'll read them. And we got some stuff I'm working on that. But LOPA, Louisiana Oregon Procurement Agency, love them, love them, love them. They help families live, and they help the families of the heroes who have passed on, who've donated their organs. They help them throughout the years. And Missy Jewell is a huge example of that. And I've talked about it numerous times, but there's a lot more of y'all lifers have reached out and said, hey, keep promoting LOPA. You know, because their family members are involved, whether they're a recipient or a donor. Y'all sign up, be a hero. And you don't have to be from Louisiana. You can be a lifer from St. Louis. And if you want to become an organ donor, go to LOPA.org. Fill out the little questionnaire. It takes 2 minutes. Become a hero and give the gift of life and sight and all that great shit. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, your running's over, that's for sure. He already knows all about you. Cut you down.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.